Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Know us by now, you'll never know us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Cavill's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And that guy, Pete Donaldson, is here.
Rawr!
Football Ramble. Lovely to have you all with us, isn't it? What a weekend. Oh,
it's hard to think
joyous.
Of it. It's hard to think of it. I was saying this to Marcus on the way here. It's hard to think of a FA Cup weekend with this many upsets in one round. It's
in isolation.
Incredible.
Yeah, even the games that weren't upsets were fantastic as well.
Yeah.
Just a great weekend all round.
Mm. It was sensitive. The FA Cup is back and better than ever.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the FA Cup in a sec because the transfer window is about to slam shut in all our faces,
as
it tends to do this time of year on the 31st. Of course, Dimitri Payet looks as though he's pretty much gone.
He has gone.
That's happened.
I saw him holding a shirt.
I saw him wearing a shirt and giving a thumbs up.
Did you? Okay.
No, that's confirmed then.
That is confirmed.
That's
no going back after that.
I think that's how they confirm it. You take that picture and I'd like post it to yourself or something, and
it's
that counts as your contract.
It's legally binding, yeah. The greatest ever example of that was old Brian Robson when he went to Middlesbrough and he put the shirt on and he had a suit jacket, shirt and tie on.
Right.
Holding the Middlesbrough scarf above his head, but in the bottom half he had shorts and socks on.
Nice. Like it.
I don't know, but the thing is, I don't know why he was doing that.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Did they want, right, we're on a shot of you in the full kit,
yes,
even though you're the manager, and then we want a tweed jacket, shirt and tie, don't worry about the shorts. That doesn't make
I
any
can't
sense.
Think of that.
It's a great example of 90s football being brilliant.
If someone's a player manager, I think that should actually be the norm.
They should have to
have to do that.
Half
got to, so yeah, if you're a player manager at a club, you've got to either wear slacks, socks and work shoes and a top half shirt or the opposite way around.
Definitely better the other way around.
Can I interest you in a vertical difference instead of a horizontal one? Is
that
right?
That, yeah.
Sort of half and half.
Like that embarrassing Arsenal fan who dresses in a half and half kit and half and half shoes.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying.
I've told you about the famous ever, the most famous one I've ever seen was at Crystal Palace when Portsmouth played Palace at Selhurst Park and the kid had a full kit on and he had, and this is almost pre-mobile phones.
Right.
Mobile phones were big, as in terms of actually big.
Okay.
Not big philosophically, but big in terms of what they actually looked like. And he had not one, but two, one down each sock for a shin pad. And he had actual football boots on.
Hang on, he had two mobile phones. Sorry,
yeah, two mobile phones. One down the front is a shin pad. One, like, each shin pad.
Why did you do that?
I don't know.
Were you going to speculate as to his?
Well, he was just there in a full kit. He wanted to support the boys. The thing was, he was sat quite near me. He was a Portsmouth fan. He's made the trip up. That's an away trip. Yeah, football boots on.
Like that. Yeah.
Amazing effort.
Maybe he has to phone home, make sure, you know, check in or whatever.
Well, when we played Glasgow in the book tour, I made a half and half Celtic Rangers top,
you
didn't
did,
I?
You did, yeah.
So that was enjoyable
and
for
you
everyone.
He survived to tell the tale.
Yeah, got out alive. Which
he had to get out of there in the last megabus, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was the real reason.
That was the last megabus out of Glasgow.
That was his own choice, though. All the Glaswegians were dying for him to stay. and Pete told them to sod off.
I mean, they didn't get angry about the show, but I've got another one because I cut him in half, didn't I? So make another one at any moment.
By definition, you've got another one.
The thing is, though, that it went down very well, and they can't be angry because any sort of Celtic or Rangers fan would go, but you've got our colours on there.
Marcus, exactly. Apparently, for you, apart from your good self, Scottish people are a delight, as a rule.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call myself Scottish. Yeah. but I am also a delight, though. So there we are. But if you were an unhappy player and you wanted to push through a transfer to another club, which is what Payet's really done, isn't he?
Yeah.
What would you do, Jim?
Well, I think now, given, you know, that we live in the sort of post-truth alternative fact landscape where you can just sort of do stuff with no consequences, I would just start dishing the dirt on my teammates, like, really publicly. Sometimes I just make it up, like saying, that player over there, he matched with his cousin on Tinder and then none of them ever mentioned it again, and stuff like that.
How is this going to get you a move?
Just because the club will hate me so much, they'll just want to get rid. Yeah. And the buy-in club never seem to mind, do they?
No,
they never
don't.
Seem put off by how terrible the behaviour is. It's like seeing Carl Stevens' career.
He won't be like that when he's over with us, but it always happens.
It's a testament to the egos of football managers, isn't it? Because they always think they can get the best out of a player. They say, I'll sort them out, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And now, like you say, Tevez is a great example of that.
Yeah.
And Mauro Zarate, to bring it up to date, Mauro Zarate is a great example of that.
Balotelli as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's slightly different in terms of his behaviour when leaving.
That's the greatest example of Brendan Rodgers' hubris, that is.
Yeah.
All right, listen, you could tell Brendan Rodgers at one point was looking at himself in the mirror every night and thinking, if one man can sort Mario Balotelli out, it's this guy here.
And that look into the mirror would have been a minimum of half an hour.
Yeah.
It would have been a long old stare.
Big time. Smiling, just looking at himself, giving himself the gun.
Okay.
Yeah, that stuff. More on Rodgers later then, Mark.
A little more, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I would do. I would just betray all of my friends.
Like Breda Hangeland recently.
Yeah, much like Breda Hangeland.
Excellent, Jim. All right. Luke.
I would probably train twice as hard, work really, really hard on my sort of match day performance.
Yeah.
I look to sort of contribute more to the team generally in terms of goals and assists if I was a forward player.
Yeah.
And really work back and track and hopefully set an example to the point of where a bigger club wouldn't be able to resist signing me.
Yeah.
And then I would move on from my existing club with best wishes from everyone. Which is something that no football player in the history of the world has ever done.
You're a dreamer, more.
I know.
This day and age.
Shall I get my agent to tweet something?
Yeah. It's like, player wants move. This is like a logical thought process. Player wants move. Player decides, like a child, like instantly, I must have the move now.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm downing tools until it happens. Uh-huh. And sometimes, in some occasions, I'm driving to the club.
Yeah, there's no kind of longer term approach anymore in football, is there? You don't get a Frank Lampard who's playing at West Ham, puts a shift in, plays really hard, gets a lot of attention and so on and so forth, and then gets his move to Chelsea, and then he's playing in the Champions League, gets a winner's medal and all the rest of it. No, you're right. I want it now.
The best you can hope for is when a player is almost like two-faced about it and still works really hard and publicly professes they don't want to leave, but secretly are briefing behind the scenes that they do want to leave.
Yeah. You get the weird situations where the moves don't quite go through in time, like before Samir Nasri's really nasty move to Man City, where he basically kind of tried to force the move. He played in a game for Arsenal. I think he played in the first game of the season and he played really well, and it was like nothing had ever happened. It was like, actually, this is horrible too.
Yeah. Didn't Cesc Fabregas do it for Arsenal to Barcelona? He was saying he didn't want to leave, but see, it came out later that he was essentially briefing away that he wanted to go.
Probably. I don't remember. It suits his PR, doesn't it, to say that and then do another thing.
It also, at some point, ended up with him having a Barcelona shirt foisted upon him, didn't it?
Yeah, that was Pepe Reina, but that was quite a while before the move actually went through.
But for me, if I was an Arsenal fan, which I always say I know, I would have been looking very closely at how hard he was fighting to not have that put on his back. Because I don't care what anyone says, You cannot put a shirt on another man's back without him actually at some point letting you do it.
He at least put a good pantomime performance in, to be fair, if you watch the video back.
Are you talking about his career or is it?
It was latter day.
It was my mate's 40th. You know Matt Dyson, friend of the Ramble, he's fair to say. I bought him a Forest fan, but I bought him a Notts County top for his 40th. Got it on eBay from like a house clearance. Dead man's shirt. Wonderful. Love it.
Ridiculous.
And but the best
Your
thing about
always
it.
Take turns like that. I love it.
Yeah. The best thing about it is the sponsor was Fasciomania. Remember when fascias were big?
What, for
phones? Fascia, for mobile phones.
Yeah.
What even were they?
They were like plastic, like additions to your, to your actual mobile phone.
Cover, basically.
Yeah. Fascia Mania.
I used to have a Portsmouth cover on my phone, on my 3210.
Yeah. Lovely. Classic, mate. Yeah. Classic.
It was a classic.
I was remembering my first mobile phone, and I remember that the SIM card was a credit card-sized SIM card.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fantastic.
Oh, Pete, you probably, knowing what we know about you and technology, you probably had a mobile phone in about 1984.
One of those big brick ones.
Yeah,
you had to bring like an aerial around with it.
No, I got into a fight with the jeweller's son because I said he was...
The jeweller's son.
Again, the town jeweller. I got in a fight. I got into a fight with...
What a northern jeweller.
I got into the to a fight.
The butcher's son.
I got in a fight with a jeweller's son. The jeweller's son because I said he was slimy because he had a mobile phone when we were like 15 or something. Wow. Nobody else had one.
Did you grow up in a nursery rhyme?
Is this when you worked down the Hovis mines?
And then you just see me running away with a big string of sausages.
Yeah.
In my mouth.
Dogs chasing you.
But going down to London with everything you own tied around a handkerchief. In a handkerchief.
Peter, what's your answer to the opening question?
Well, you don't have to. Wash your kit. You don't have to turn up like all deodorized, do you?
I knew it would be something.
Just
like
really
dirty.
Let your personal hygiene
dirty
go.
Protest,
it's a dirty protest.
Well, not really a dirty protest. It doesn't have to involve effluvia, but it can just involve sweat and being a stinky boy.
No, so I just be a stinky boy now. I think that's something that comes very easily to you.
Yeah. Outrageous! I smell better than anyone in this room.
I was a bit
exactly the
same. Have you been angling for a move to another podcast for about 5 years?
I smell better than anyone in this room is exactly the sort of thing someone with a body odor problem would say.
Mate, I don't smell it on after I had my armpits lasered. So up yours,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Best money I ever spent, mate.
That only really rears its
ugly
head in the
money.
Summer. Yeah, doesn't it? In the summer, that only comes up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not really. Not a factor in the winter, is it?
It used to be. So yeah, perfect.
Let me answer so we can quickly go to the FA Cup. I would insist on wearing the team's kit for the team that I wanted to move to and just wear it all the time. And even when I played for them, I'd take the home kit off and they'd just be like, yeah, these are the boys.
Oh my goodness.
No. That's worse than my answer.
That's the closest I've been to align myself with those horrible against modern football types. Terrible
one. Disgusting.
But of course, it was only a silly answer. I was just joking, and Luke's got the point because I thoroughly agree with his answer.
That's the sort of thing you would do, Marcus. You're a model pro. You would definitely do that.
Thank you.
I'm not surprised you're giving me the point, sir.
Part of the reason that Paul Ince was so hated at West Ham was because he did the photo, didn't he, with the kit
Man
before
shirt.
The move had gone through, and that did make all the difference.
Yeah, Manchester United shirt, yeah, apparently so. Yeah, he was at the game, wasn't he?
He was.
He was at the Derby game.
Half time.
God,
yeah.
Let's go to Paul Ince every 10 minutes, see what he thinks about his son's performance. Why are we doing this?
I quite like
he came
the idea
out
of that.
Yeah.
But I think just not necessarily just famous football dads, just football dads.
That's the natural progression. The logical progression is we get every dad from the game, from the players who are playing, and go to them every time someone does something good. What does his dad think?
I'm failing to see why this is bad.
It was Paul Ince, though, isn't it?
I think you both failed to hear what Pete said before.
We've already sort of had the idea of having a dad rabble, just getting all our dads on.
Yeah.
Even though my dad does nothing about football.
My dad doesn't either, no.
We've floated the idea of dog rabble as well.
Yeah.
Each of our dogs.
Just Winston in a room, isn't it?
What's this got to do with Paul Ince?
What's it got to do with the FA Cup fourth round,
just
guys?
Weird broadcasting decisions.
Sorry, Marcus. Me, Pete and Jim had a little pat before we came on that we do as much as we could to not talk about football, see how long it would last.
Okay, well, you've had enough time because we've got to talk about the FA Cup fourth round. There were cup sets galore.
There was
loads of them.
It was Max Romeo and the upsetter.
It was absolutely ridiculous. And we're going to have to begin with Sutton United 1, Leeds United 0. They didn't fancy the 3G of Sutton, did they?
They really did.
I mean, Mike, Leeds are 84 places above Sutton in the football pyramid. Sutton's 16th in the National League. Sutton... obviously, they had that amazing upset when they beat Coventry, I think, in the late 80s. But this
game had everything.
When they scored, well, of course, it was ruled out for offside. Maybe harshly, you might.
I don't know.
But when they scored that, everyone sort of went, oh, hello.
Yeah.
Leeds just didn't look up for it at all. They didn't look interested in attacking at any point. They just seemed to like enjoy the middle of the field.
I love that. I love the fact that Sutton United have got a reputation as being a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you what, we're keeping this tight for half an hour.
I couldn't believe it.
Some of the punditry on Match of the Day afterwards made an interesting point, which is that it was almost like Leeds were trying to overplay it, whereas Sutton know how to play on that pitch. They know the limitations of it, so they keep it short, keep it tidy, and it obviously worked for them because they were by far the better team.
They were,
They really absolutely deserved
that
win.
Is it fair to say that the television cameras weren't used to broadcasting from a rainy Sutton United home?
The rain must have been like vertical, horizontal, like going into the camera lens, because there was no way. They did enough cutaways so that they could wipe
the game had everything. It had a dodgy pen, had a red card, of course. It was the upset. There was a pitch invasion, I think, as well. Yeah. But the only thing it didn't have was a really muddy pitch because of the 3G. Yeah.
Right.
But what it did have is it had Collins, who the captain of Sutton United, tucking away the penalty, described by one national newspaper as, "Collins has the type of figure you do not often see in the professional game."
Succinct. Yeah. I can't think of anything funny. I don't want to be mean, so I'll just keep it like that. But
they're not a professional club.
The offside, well, they might be.
Shorthand for fatty boom boom?
I'm pretty sure Lincoln are full-time professional. A lot of national league clubs are full-time
professional. I'm not sure if Sutton are.
I don't know.
I know he's done part-time work. I love this, though, because Paul Doswell, I think the manager's
called. Yeah, he is, yeah.
He said that the club have no ambitions to become a Football League club, which is understandable, but I love the fact. I think he said that before the game, but in my head, he said it after.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, and you're going to, and you're just beating Leeds United, one of the biggest teams of English football history and all this kind of stuff. Well, but we've got our ambitions very much stop at the fifth round of the FA Cup. Yeah. No ambition to go
on. See, no chance they're going to get to play a league club, because we are not going there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, and I understand why before anybody emails.
Speaking of the first goal, the offside goal, goal that was ruled out.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, obviously because it was at Sutton, you didn't get a great camera angle. It looked like he might have been level.
I think he was on.
And it also looked like he might have come from just behind the ball as well.
So, a lovely finish.
Well, another day, that could have been a goal. And I was thinking, I don't know if you guys felt the same, about halfway through the first half, I was thinking the Leeds keeper is keeping them in this.
Yes. Mm,
he's
hugely.
Keeping them in this game. Because they were, as Pete or Jim was said, Sutton were by far the better team.
For Leeds, promotion is very much the dangling carrot, and that's the most important thing for them, which they might get to the playoffs. But
same for Brighton, though, in that you don't want an embarrassment like that to derail your momentum, do you? So it's still a disaster.
He did make a lot of changes, which is fair to say.
I mean, look, Leeds are obviously going for promotion, and that would be absolutely massive. Well, is it fair to say that not the best news for Leeds fan that co-owner Massimo Cellino has been cleared of any criminal offence relating to his alleged tax evasion in Italy? He's now able to continue his involvement with Leeds. I think there's another
last
appeal.
they hear that 5 minutes before kick-off.
I mean, he definitely won't come back and derail their promotion.
Check if we've been in the studio every 5 months? After that is unacceptable.
Yeah, they'll be like the playoff final.
Yeah.
And the keys of the city are about to be handed to Monk if he wins the game. And Cellino's like, I'm managing this.
Right. Wembley.
I am managing, and we're at Wembley.
Sweep in on a hang glider and just kick it out of the mayor's hands. Yeah. My favourite thing I think about, my favourite sort of like just the indication of what a low level the game was played at was one of the sponsors on the stands. There were loads of tiny, tiny logos and you couldn't make out what they said, but in a massive, huge sign in big capital letters, it said, "Main sponsors of Sutton United." So
like
you can see that they have a sponsor, just not what it is.
I like the camera they chose to pick out people in the crowd, aka bloody Pardew.
Was the one
that was not bothered by rain at any point. Well, Pardew actually opened the 3G pitch when it first opened.
Indeed.
Right.
It apparently it's a FIFA 2-star pitch, which is the best rating you can get.
Okay.
For a 3G pitch. Hey, and Pardew is a 2-star human.
Well, that's
I did my research just so I could say that.
Is that an official TripAdvisor review?
That's on Pete's rating.
I went to Alan Pardew for a summer holiday and had a terrible time.
Slide enjoyable until end. Yeah.
I love the fact that the football's kept being booted outside of the stadium.
Beautiful. How many did they lose in the first
half?
Five in the first half.
Presumably they lost count, or there was not as many in the second half.
Tell you, that was Pete's childhood. He'd have gone over to Booty, wouldn't he? Booty of footballs.
There was,
which you had stolen off him from the candlestick maker's son.
The sport shop owner's son.
Yeah.
Look at Mick's trophies.
Fox would have stolen the bag.
The penalty, what did you think of the penalty? I thought the penalty could have gone either way. It looked like it might have been a foul on the goalkeeper, but it was a very nicely taken penalty.
It was tucked away, lovely. Yeah. By Collins.
Did you think it was a penalty then?
I wanted it so much.
there was a lot of trailing feet going on, wasn't there?
Yeah. On FA Cup games, there might be an upset. You will turn a blind eye to anything.
The second one was certainly more objectionable when it comes to tackles.
It was.
The first one was like, he was looking for that. Second one was like, he was looking for that, but it was better.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't make a better job of it. When you're watching like a non-league team and you really want them to have an upset, you're like, he's had Barney right on the fist with his eye there. Yeah. Get him off.
Oh, but what a win. And it's the first time that two non-league sides have reached the fifth round of the FA Cup.
I hope they get each other.
Stunning. And Lincoln are they beat Brighton 3-1. A win. Brighton, for all intents and purposes, at the moment, if you look at the way the bottom sides in the Premier League are playing and the way Brighton are playing, they are playing like a Premier League side.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be out of place in the division this season. And I know you're wondering, Peter, does that have any implications with Newcastle? Don't worry, you're still in the hunt. But this was an upset of extreme proportions as well.
Especially given that Brighton went a goal ahead as well.
They went a goal ahead, and the way they celebrated, you know, there was a bit of the sort of carnival atmosphere and all that kind of stuff in the Brighton den.
And the draw's been made live on this show.
Yeah.
Sutton are at home to Arsenal.
Yeah, beautiful.
Campbell.
Amazing.
Come on.
Well, Lincoln away.
Whoever drew those balls out.
Craig Eastman, who plays for Sutton, used to play for Arsenal as well. So that's a huge thing for him.
That's fantastic.
By the way, we all know that Arsenal are going to struggle there.
Yeah.
Jim, this is absolute embarrassment. Sir. I think Sutton will get a replay. Or maybe Arsenal will win like 2-1 with a last-minute Giroud goal.
I remember Hartlepool getting a draw against Arsenal back in the day. They pumped us, I think.
Yeah, that was...
Burnley have got Lincoln at home.
Yeah.
That's a tough draw for them, though.
That's a horrible one.
It is.
Yeah, that's what sort of draw you don't really want.
But then, yeah.
Burnley look good.
They do indeed. But what a win for Lincoln, though.
Yeah, there was a key moment in that game. Brighton were a goal ahead, and Glenn Murray had a really good chance to make it 2-0, didn't take it.
Yeah.
He's just signed for them permanently from Bournemouth, I think.
That's a good sign.
And from then on, it was up for grabs.
Lincoln in the fifth round for the first time since 1887.
Yeah, the local commentator reared his head again.
Oh my God, he must be.
He went crazy.
He must have screamed himself to death.
He lost a plot. He starts going, two World Wars and one World Cup since Lincoln made it. You're going crazy. Wow.
There's a lot. What he should have actually said was the amount of actual World Cups that have taken place. Because that would have been more impressive.
Well, i.e. all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have done a lot
but
better.
But Lincoln were having a lovely time. Never goal ruled out for offside as well.
Did they?
Never
going on. That's right. Yeah,
they were all over them.
All three goals were ridiculous from Brighton's point of view.
Oh, my goodness.
They were terrible.
The third one, I mean, Chris Armstrong was as fuming as Chris Armstrong gets.
Yeah.
I don't think that man's ever lost his hemmer. Yeah. Chris Hughes, sorry. Yeah. Not Chris Armstrong. Well, he was angry as well, Chris Armstrong.
He's very bad.
Nobody had
no investment in it, and he was still angry.
I watched the game with him, Chris Armstrong. Chris Hughes was as angry, as close to getting angry as he gets. The third goal. It was sort of Sunday league stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of when you have a goalkeeper in Sunday league who can't kick the ball far and it goes straight to the opposite.
The own goal was just...
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you what, Lincoln manager Danny Cowley said, we used the analogy beforehand that if beating them was like getting to the moon, doing so after going behind would be like getting to Pluto.
Yeah, he's absolutely shot his bolt there because... Pluto is 7.5 billion kilometres away from Earth, and the Moon is only 384,000 kilometres. What planetary analogy is he going to use next? Because he's going to have to go out of the solar system.
Yeah, ones that don't have proper names, just numbers and letters.
What do you think of the draw, though? Because they're a way to...
Why don't you tell us who else we've got? Because we only know the two.
Yeah.
Well, we're focusing on that. Well, we'll come to them in a minute. Burnley are playing Lincoln at home. Now, we were saying on the way up here that... If you're a Lincoln City, do you want a side, you know, at home to say Huddersfield, for example? Because that's winnable. I know Huddersfield probably won't thank me for saying that. Or do you, you know, or you just, you know, damn it all, let's go to Old Trafford or something? Because Burnley away is...
I was saying on Thursday that Burnley are... I said, if Burnley will beat Bristol City, which they did, and if they get a home draw in the next round, they're at this point now, this is on Thursday, they're a great bet to win the FA Cup.
Burnley can't defend against Lincoln, though.
They'll beat Lincoln.
No, they should beat Lincoln, but I mean, they can't do their normal sort of defend and then
shut
hit Lincoln
out
on the break.
Why not?
All right, fine.
It works against whoever. It works against Liverpool.
You basically want a home draw, though, don't you? Because you're not going to guarantee an allocation wherever you go. You're not going to fit all the fans in. I think a home draw satisfies everyone.
But this is my point, though, because if you want a home draw against a side who are in the Championship or League One, then you're sort of thinking, you know, we could get the quarterfinals. Or you just cash your chips in and go Old Trafford,
yeah. I know what you mean.
Halfway between there.
What I want to say about Lincoln is that Chris Reid up front for them, he's apparently 16 stone 10 pounds.
Amazing.
That is lovely.
Why not
stuff
go for 17? Why not just put a couple of pounds on?
He will be by the end of the season.
Well, by that game, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
People are working.
People start saying he is unplayed. I think he's got 20-odd goals last season. I think he's on 8 or 9 this season. Yeah, so, okay. You know, he's decent for that level.
He's absolute nuisance value. Just nuisance value.
He really is. Wolves have drawn Chelsea at home in the next round. Now, that's not easy because Wolves, if they can defend like they did against Liverpool, with Costa and Dico on the break, they're going to... You're not sure.
Wolves aren't going to beat Chelsea.
Yeah, no. I don't think they're going to have enough. I appreciate what you're saying, but I think just, you know...
I'm getting caught up in it, Jim.
You are. I appreciate you bringing me all the way back
on
the pure romance of it all.
Keep your distance from Marcus. I think he's got a serious dose of cup fever. Before you move on to the draw...
That was me. Look, I ate some bad food.
Okay, right. Before we move on to the other draw...
Well, we're talking Liverpool-Wolves.
I want to make a point about Lincoln, though.
Please.
Is that Gary Lineker tweeted something really interesting today. You know, we've talked a bit about how Manchester United have been had 56 televised FA Cup games.
Yeah.
Well, Gary Lineker said today that that the BBC asked to be able to show game, and the FA went back to them and said, you can't.
FA have come out and defended themselves.
Yeah, they're denying it, but Gary Lineker said on Twitter, he literally said that. He said, this is correct. After Lincoln won their replay, we asked the FA to change to Lincoln-Brighton game. They refused.
I think it was because...
It was 10 days' notice as well.
Okay, well, I think maybe it had already been done or something like that, because I think the alternative would have been, what would have been, Ipswich... And another Ipswich Brighton, of course, yeah. And they went for the safe bet of Manchester United.
Yeah, but Gary Lineker, I'll read it to you again.
No, I heard what you said, but I'm saying the FA have got their side of the story.
Listen, we live in the age of conspiracy theories. Let's indulge that.
Let's not listen to what actually is true and make up our own truth.
So Gary said this.
Yeah.
The FA have said that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But who do we believe?
What are we saying, Peter?
You're saying due process needs to be observed on the FA side. Contracts have been signed.
Yeah.
I's have been dotted. T's have been crossed.
Yeah, the schedules.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they're only following through on what they said they'd do.
Oh, muck a speller.
I'm only joking, you silly sods. Now, Liverpool, they'd lost at home to Wolves. It was a third straight loss at home for the pool.
Yeah.
Some media were scathing of Jurgen Klopp fielding a weakened or an inexperienced team, which... He can field whatever side he wants.
He can field whatever side he wants, but I think, you know, he even said after the game that, you know, I made a mistake in doing that and I hold my hands up. And it's not that it was necessarily a sort of lack of respect to Wolves almost, but I think it was a sort of failure to see that his own team are kind of struggling a bit and actually maybe, you know, he needed to use what he had at his disposal as much as possible because they don't have the strength and depth that maybe they thought they did earlier in the season. Because out of two cups in a week...
Well, also, you know, if his squad's struggling and they're showing signs of tiredness, which a number of people have been critical of Klopp running his side into the ground, then what's wrong with resting players in a home draw against Wolves in the cup?
It's do you not think it's dispiriting? Because if you lose, and they did lose...
the gamble?
And they lose again against Chelsea. That's four home losses in a row.
Yeah.
And that's not happened since 1920-odd, something like that. So, like... It's not helpful to lose any football match, I think.
True, but I don't think he's picked a side in which he thinks, I'm not sure.
No, they should have had enough.
No, absolutely not. But
it's a circular thing. The media demand football. The media demand more televised football. The pressure is on the players. Jurgen Klopp then has to manage that because his team are playing 12 games in 5 weeks. Mm. They played something like 10 games in January. So then he has to manage that as best he can. And then when he gets knocked out of tournaments and loses games, the media round on him. What's he expected to
do? Gary Neville defended him, though.
Well, Gary Neville's right in what he said. I mean, if you take Manchester United from the 90s, when they're a dominant force in the English football for the most part, Ferguson used to play young players all the time in the cup. I remember him playing Chris Casper and Michael Clegg at centre-back in the FA Cup 1 year, and they got knocked out. They got knocked out a couple of times in the 90s. They played Ben Thornley and one or two others as well in the game and got knocked out against Wimbledon, was it, maybe, in the 90s? It's always happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the teams this round who have fielded weakened sides... I mean, you know, it's not just top teams doing that. Brighton fielded changes.
Newcastle
had changes, you know. So it happens all over.
Well, look, Arsenal had changes. They won 5-0.
Southampton made 9 changes as well in that game, though.
Another one.
Changes.
But the overall point is, I think there's two points. One is that teams are always going to make changes when they're gunning for lots of different competitions against a lesser team, whether it be Brighton or Leeds or Newcastle or even Arsenal or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the key difference might be now that they're fielding quite a lot more of them. I think Ferguson, despite what I've just said, Ferguson would always have a core of good players around him as well, and so around those young players as well. But I do maintain that the fixture schedule for Liverpool, particularly this season over Christmas through January, has genuinely been not far short of a disgrace. Mm-hmm. I mean, they play three games in February.
Could have done without that replay, though, surely.
Yeah, well, quite. That's partly their fault, of course. But playing 10 games in 1 month is incredible. It's an incredible amount of games.
The League Cup having two legs has often been talked about as well.
But I didn't have watching them.
But Wolves, though, what a great win for them. And Paul Lambert winning again at Anfield. He said this was the best of his managerial wins there. I like that. When they're talking about how many times have you won at Anfield and all this kind of stuff. Well, this is probably the best one. Costa nearly scored one of the greatest FA Cup goals of our time.
That was
just
fantastic.
Couldn't find the finish. Yeah.
That was not only fantastic, it was also a great example of how leggy Liverpool look. Someone said to me on Friday, someone sort of in the know said to me on Friday, that he is training those players so hard. And you can see that. You can see it a mile off. All teams have got to do is sit deep and make it tough for Liverpool.
There's no penetration.
But what's astounding about that is... how simple that tactic is. Sit off, hit him on the break. You know, just dig in a little bit, let him have the ball, win it, hit him on the break. Really, really straightforward, simple, like Sunday league tactics in a sense, because it is very, very basic. And it's working. It's working to the point where Wolves have observed it happened. And then Wolves can beat them at Anfield.
I think that's why Mane stayed at the African Cup of Nations.
They flew him back, didn't they?
He doesn't want to get involved.
Come back, everything's on fire.
You will miss that penalty.
Yeah.
But Jim,
just to follow up on what you said, I mean, the Liverpool, a lot of people will say, who know more about tactics than I do, will say, the way you combat that, move the ball nice and quickly, move it from flank to flank, get out wide, get behind the fullbacks, all that stuff.
Force that space.
Liverpool cannot move the ball quickly enough to overcome a Championship side. Mm. That's how slow they've been with the ball at the moment, and it really is worrying times for them, because they've got Chelsea tomorrow night, I think, which is going to be a very tough game. Chelsea are unbeaten in their last four at Anfield, so it's not going to be easy.
Is the gegenpress no good in the Premier League and the FA Cup? It's too quick.
Yeah.
Too quick in a quick division.
It could be, Peter.
But Klopp said something quite funny about Sadio Mane in the press today. He said, Sadio Mane will arrive home tonight. I will look into his eyes and see what is possible.
Oh.
So who knows?
Maybe look into the eyes of your other players who've got caught drink driving.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Peter.
What?
Always the moral compass, isn't he?
Sorry. Sorry, everyone.
Well, let me finish.
I'm all right, really.
Oh, yeah, on air you're the moral compass.
Yeah.
In real life, you're the worst out of all of us.
I'm not. Say I am.
We're going to talk about
to make
Oxford
you feel better,
we're
Luke.
We're going to talk about Oxford United after this.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the banks, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we talk more FA Cup, it's time for emails with Pete Donaldson.
It is time for emails with Pete Donaldson. Thank you for... I always don't realise this is happening, but it's happening.
Even though it's on the running order.
Yeah,
all right,
always
shut your fat mouth. Joel G says, glad to see that David Moyes in his honest streak strikes again. He promised that the players he would buy wouldn't improve the squad, and immediately gets Darren Gibson and Brian Ovidio.
Johnny Lescott as well. It's amazing, the old sort of Everton old boys club there.
You see who else he's brought in ahead of the deadline? Joe Max Moore, Thomas Rosinski, Tobias Linderoth, Alessandro Pistone, Scott Gemmell, and Alan Stubbs.
Nice. Rosinski can still do a job.
When you said Joe Max Moore, a little part of me thought, wait, how old is he?
Hello to Tom Slade. Hi guys, just returned home after Sutton United versus Leeds, and I noticed you'd picked up on Sutton's reserve keeper / coach, 45-year-old Wayne Shaw. He's certainly an intimidating presence, but despite his size, his skin isn't quite as thick. He proved this last season when, after taking abuse from the fans at Gander Green Lane for the majority of the game, he left his post in the Sutton United goal, jumped the hoardings, and walloped said fan who had relentlessly been taunting him, which is incredible.
You'd
think he'd be banned for a while.
Some of the fans who are listening to this show now might have been told want to hear that before the game.
Yeah, Tom's granddad used to take him to the lane, but that memory stands out because walloped a man.
Is that because he's so old? He was from an era where you can get away with doing that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
was that when Pardew went to see them?
Liam Fernandez, hi Ramblers. My highlight of the week took place in the West of Scotland Super League, where Shettleston keeper Gary White, I'm sure this will be mentioned in the highlight of the week by a few people, age 21, was sent off in a 1-0 win against Shots Bonacord for having a pee behind the goal, his own goal, I should add, not an attempt to distract the opposition keeper. He said, I've been playing football since I was 8. No red cards until today when I got dismissed for having a slash. Got to go when you got to go.
Yeah, I think it was a Daily Record did a story about this.
Right.
And they looked up former World Cup referee Bob Valentine, who said he was baffled by the decision. He said, in my opinion, it should have been a yellow at most for ungentlemanly conduct.
Yeah. Yellow?
But did you see a picture of the referee that sent him off? Now, I don't want to cast aspersions over the top of people who want to become referees, but that guy looked like a real Jobsworth. He relished it. He was relishing it.
Did he look like a prat?
No comment.
I haven't actually seen what he looks like.
No comment.
But that's the vibe I'm picking up on. Any more emails, Peter?
You're talking about footballers who may have played in fairly high... level in football. Yeah, and who listened to the show. Hi, guys.
Rio Ferdinand.
Hi, guys. This is from George. You've been looking for a listener who plays to the highest standard of football. That's not me. My football career fell off a cliff once I discovered food, fags and booze.
Why are you emailing, then?
However, my sister is decent.
Okay.
Get her to email him, then. Yeah.
She currently plays in the top flight women's league in England. She's won the league 3 times, has 2 players player of the season awards, and in 2015 brought home a bronze medal from the Women's World Cup in Canada for England. I realise this is a slightly tenuous link, and she may not be a regular listener. However, she has definitely listened to the show through me in the car and in the kitchen of my parents' house over Christmas time.
Okay,
does that count, Luke?
What's her name? Who is it?
Luke.
A third place World Cup winner. We're not going to beat that.
Yeah. No. Who is it?
Well, he hasn't attached the name.
Oh, for crying out loud.
He's not even given us a second name, to be honest, so it could be anyone.
Well, that's nonsense. That's out the window.
All right, okay. No. All right, well, how about this then? Richard says, hello, Ramblers. Having heard the futsal shout for the Durham/England police last week, I'd like to draw the Ramblers' attention back to my email 2 years ago when I wrote about my international debut for the England futsal team.
Yeah, but we spoke
third
about
season in the England team. Now we're out in Bulgaria trying to qualify from the pre-qualifiers for the qualifiers in Azerbaijan.
Aren't we all?
Speller is gutting it. Yeah. He's going to take you off emails in a minute.
Outrageous. I'm trying to give you some proper footballers here.
Cup fever early. Yeah. Look at him.
He's got futsal. Foot in mouth.
Futsal in mouth. Futsal in mouth. Yeah, but we spoke about futsal. That's very admirable. That's an achievement. So futsal's not easy, and I think it should be played more in this country, blah, 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 blah. But it's not quite what we asked for, was it, Luke?
I'm not one to have a go at a listener. Right? But I've put a call out there. I've had someone's sister.
Who we don't know her name.
And two people we don't even know she is. And two people playing futsal.
Yeah.
How many listeners? I'm starting to think we've got about 10 listeners.
Oi, I still am the one who's played at the highest level, listeners, so come on.
She played in the World Cup!
Yeah, but there's no proof.
Yeah, for one thing...
I played in the World Cup as well, there you go.
She doesn't really listen, you couldn't find the attachment of her name with your box of buttons, so we don't confirm whether she's a real person
or not. To confirm whether she listens or not, the best explanation from the email was, I'm pretty sure she's heard it once or twice in the car.
Yeah.
That's not a listener!
Look, that's as good as a listener gets for me.
Well, you're a radio show.
As long as you download it. As long as you take that radio diary, I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, are there any other emails?
That's it for this week, Marcus. If you want to get involved, show at thefootballramble.com. And I'm just hoping that someone plays at a decent level of football to sit these imbeciles that I'm sat across from.
I've got no notes for Oxford United 3 Newcastle 0 because I thought it'd be peak time.
No, I haven't either.
You've had quite enough from me.
It's your time to shine, Pete.
Deary me. Yeah, well, he said he wasn't happy that the match... wasn't broadcast live. No, he said he was happy that the match wasn't broadcast live. And he turned out he was right. Yeah, there it was.
It wasn't great.
What if it happens if the fifth round tie is due to be televised? That's my point.
Well, after the game, didn't he say that he was, Michael Laffer said he was surprised, surprised that the players could get to that level?
Yeah. Well, he said we're not a 1-0 team, didn't he? He said, we're not the sort of team who can score and just shut up shop.
No.
He kind of gets Mitrovic.
It was along the lines of, we haven't got the character for that.
Sort of big at the team.
Just won 3-0.
Yeah.
Mitrovic's penalty was a nice one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To be fair, it's a great save from the keeper.
He's turning into a Mistrovic, I think.
You didn't think Newcastle could have more room for another bogey team, but Oxford United, the last 3 times they've played them, they've smashed them every time.
Newcastle are like England.
I know.
They're not reserve bogey teams waiting in different leagues, just in case.
Yeah. Oxford United did knock out Swansea last season. They reached the fourth round, but they've gone one better this year. I mean, you would never have thought that as an Oxford United fan.
Newcastle stink up the FA Cup every single year. Yeah. Since they lost at Wembley twice.
No, they got semi-final after the final. I think they did.
Yeah, very close.
I mean, that's not that.
No, but it's not stinking up the cup, is it?
They've stank up the cup in recent memories.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I mean, you'd know.
Newcastle aren't that big a club. It's not.
Where's that come from?
It's a little dig. There were, but
even a little dig.
There was some great.
Sometimes no amount of preparation for this show is better than just poking Pete with a stick. All right?
I've learned. No, I'm not feeling very well.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Too many sticks. Been poked at, yeah. Obviously, there were some great upsets, and there was one that nearly was at White Hart Lane.
So this was. I mean, if you look at that incident, talking about drama, that's probably arguably the game of the weekend.
Yeah. His volley was insanely good.
It was beautiful.
Do you know why I love that volley so much? Because he didn't try and hit it too hard.
No.
He controlled it beautifully. He picked his spot.
Graceful.
The technique was fantastic. He had a great game, Paul Hayes.
He didn't. Really he missed a chance like just before that, hadn't he?
Yeah, he had. He cleared one off the line as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he was just everywhere.
I know he was, yeah.
I couldn't believe that when the other games were happening, you think, you know, Brighton away to Lincoln and the other ones that were going on. But when Wickham went 2-0 up at Spurs, I thought, that's come from nowhere.
Yeah. Well, no, but Wickham are unbeaten in 16 games.
Away to Spurs, sorry.
It's a tough assignment, but Spurs made a lot of changes.
They did, but Spurs, the White Hart Lane is...
It's Police Academy, isn't it, Moscow, Marcus? Tough.
White Hart Lane is a fortress this season. And you could argue maybe last season as well. They've got such a wonderful defensive record. Now, yes, they've made changes, but they come into that very formidable system and ethos and culture at the club, which is Pochettino has now.
And to be fair, pretty much all those players have been parts of matchday squads this season. All of them. When I saw that lineup, I wasn't going, "Who is that?"
All the players
you sort of knew. Yeah,
but they did win it at the end, Spurs. You know,
I mean, they're up to ten as well.
There's a lot of character there because I know that
a lot of professionalism. I think.
Yeah. Well, look, Wickham, they should be beaten Wickham at home, and in the end they did. And it's all about getting to the next round. It's gutting for them, but especially when Spurs came back to 2-0. When they got 2-1, you thought, "Oh, here we go, 2-0, yeah." And then Wickham went 3-2, and that was 36-year-old Gary Thompson with a lovely header, beautiful header.
That was a lower league old school header.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who's a Spurs season ticket holder, he actually texted me after the game. He doesn't often text me after Spurs games. He was like, "I genuinely am gutted for Wickham there."
Because
they were 3-2 up. The last minute, wasn't it? The last minute. The 89th minute or something. Yeah, so then they scored their goal, their winner, in the 97th.
It was a poor kick out from the keeper.
Third goal was...
His positioning wasn't great when Ali scored.
Ali's goal was absolutely brilliant. I don't know if it's maybe got enough credit amongst all of the other stuff that happened in the game, but the way that he sort of shielded the ball by letting it run under him with such clever technique, and he still had a lot to do after that by placing it as well as he did. And it was just brilliant.
If you watch the winner, the Sun winner as well, in slow motion, it's not actually going in.
It's not an own goal.
And the guys put it in. It would have gone wide. Obviously, he wasn't going to know that. He was pegging it back at like 100 mile an hour.
There's a lot of bottle if he dummied that.
Oh, big time.
Let it through his legs.
It's like a replay next round. Yeah. It's a fantastic game, though. Because Trippier looked like he... I don't know what the report is on his injury, but he looked like he got a good knee in the ribs.
Yeah.
And for them to be down to 10 and 3-2 down, I mean, it's a big effort.
It was annoying because there were so many exciting matches, and I was in Lisbon at the time, and I was sat in Cristiano Ronaldo's restaurant. And they'd put Portuguese television had only put the Chelsea Brentford match on.
That's annoying.
I was like, come on.
they were scouting the things and they thought Chelsea top of the league and it's a West London derby. That must be the one to watch.
Just to answer your question about why Pete was there, he found out midweek last week that they've decriminalised all drugs.
Yeah.
And so he was like, okay.
Naughty Peter. What a win for Millwall.
Yeah.
1-0. And great as well. I mean, obviously, better news like we spoke about last time round, and a lot of people have spoken about with Millwall. It's not confirmed that it's going to be all roses yet, but better. But what a win, though, in the current climate as well. And against the Premier League side, that's an upset.
Yeah,
League One Millwall. People were saying, was that an upset? Yes, it was.
Yeah, I mean, we called it. Didn't we? Not to.
We said that was a big one. Yeah.
But it did. It looked very winnable for Millwall just because of the sort of. I don't know. Just the state Watford are in, they just don't look clue, do they?
We called it on a weekend where like 95% of big teams went out.
Mate, we've got to take our victories where we can.
I know, it's true, yeah.
I did find Walter Mazzari afterwards saying that he felt his team were better and seemed annoyed about how aggressive Millwall were in their approach.
Steve Morrison, who scored the winner, it's a lovely goal, by the way. Yeah. That's his third spell at the club. He's obviously a fan's favourite down there. He said, I saw a quote from him today saying, that's a disgrace. There was nothing going on that pitch.
No.
Anything out of the ordinary. We just battled very, very hard. We worked really hard and we deserved it.
Well, it's just an emotional reaction from a man under pressure, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Indeed. But, fabulous for Millwall. It was absolutely brilliant to see. And Fulham as well, beating Hull 4-1. I mean, to be honest, again, people said, was that an upset? I suppose it was. Technically speaking,
Fulham's second was an absolute beauty.
What a wonderful time Fulham had. Yeah. I mean, they're a funny side because Jukanovic, obviously, you know, he got Watford promoted to the Premier League and then didn't. Then he left the club, so he knows how to play that division. And with Fulham, he took a little bit of time getting going, but they're playing some really nice stuff. But the old penalty curse down at Craven Cottage,
that was a ridiculous.
Bit the away team on the bottom time.
For those who haven't seen that, Abel Hernandez was awarded and took a penalty. He had it saved, he went to follow it up, and was brought down again for another penalty, which he then missed again.
Yeah. Well, no, the keeper saved it, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's amazing. But it was hard to sort of get your head around. So the keeper saved one, that's good.
Yep.
Then he gave another one away, that's bad.
Yep.
But then he saved another one, so he's one up. Abel Hernandez won a penalty, that's good, but he missed it, so it's bad. But then he won another one, that's good, but then he missed it again, so that's also bad. He's neutral. He's minus two.
He's minus two. Hernandez is neutral in that. Yeah. But Marcus Bettis, always nice to have a Marcus in there, I find. But wonderful stuff. But it was quite funny. Some local co-commentary was good. Well, some local commentary, and the co-commentator, when the second penalty was given, the commentator was giving it the big one. Couldn't believe what was happening, and the co-commentator, all you could hear is just chuckling away to himself.
That's what it should be.
You don't expect to hear that in London radio. I guess that's probably me being biased. Local radio, you don't really think of it in London.
No, true enough. But Fulham have missed 7 out of 9 penalties.
What about? Would you like to spare a word for Ryan Sessegnon?
16-year-old Ryan Sessegnon.
16 years old.
Had a great
phenomenal
game. He had a great game at fullback. I mean, Fredericks isn't a bad fullback as well for Fulham, but Sessegnon, what a performance he put in. He's a very exciting young player.
Sonny Aluko had a lovely game against his old team.
Yeah, he did,
as well.
Yeah. But Spurs aren't going to sign Sonny Aluko, unlike Ryan Sessegnon.
Yeah.
Okay.
didn't Sonny Aluko play for Hull in the final against Arsenal?
He did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would have done.
But I don't remember him ever being that rapid. Like, when a player's
got a nice touch and a nice bit of skill and pace about it.
But when a player really has something to prove against an old team, especially in a cup competition, and especially when they're a sort of division above, you know, like in that sort of rare set of circumstances, they just give it 3 billion%.
It's one of the great intangibles of football, isn't
it? Was it Sonny Aluko who emailed in earlier? Because if it was, I'm impressed by that.
Yeah,
And then on the Friday night, Derby played Leicester, and Darren Bent had a lovely old time, didn't he?
I was watching that game, and I finished work and I was rushing home to watch it and to get everything out. And obviously that goal came quite early on. And I was out in the other room, and my wife called me and said, "You've got to see this. She doesn't know much about football, so she didn't know what was happening." I went in there, I was like, how has he done that? how is that even possible? There's no one around
him. Just strike a ball.
And I loved the analysis. The analysis of it was that he did really well. He did like everything right. He covered the front post. When the ball went over, he spun round. He took up his position on the goal. He did everything he should have done in that defensive role, and then just sliced it into his own.
The man has got an eye for goal.
We know that.
He's a poacher in the box.
Yeah, Derby weren't far off causing a little upset of their own, you know.
I thought it was a great game, and I thought Bent's goal at the right end was a really nice header as well.
Yeah.
Leicester obviously bailed themselves out and lived to fight another day. But that was a really... I'll tell you what, that was the point where you knew that it was going to be a good weekend of cup football, because that was the first game of them all, and it was a fantastic one.
Much like Pete Donaldson, there was a stomach bug problem some of the Leicester players.
Indeed.
But they managed to recover and get a replay. Before we go to another little break, Blackburn beating Blackpool 2-0, of course, was a good win for Rovers, and a great second from Bennett. What a goal that was. But it was all about the protest, really, for some of the media. Well, it won't be for Blackburn fans, of course, it's all about getting in the next round, but there's a few tennis balls on the pitch and all that kind of stuff.
Blackburn had their own protest.
They're
well,
protesting Venky still.
Yeah,
we forgot about that years ago. They're still going. Bless them.
By the sounds of it, so are Venky's, because from what I've heard about it, they're basically just never around, just running it from afar, not interested at all. And obviously, when you run something like that, it falls into the ground, doesn't it? And my favourite thing about that protest was apparently a lot of the tennis balls were from outside the ground.
What?
Fans who were protesting the game by not going to it, disrupting it by chucking tennis balls in from outside.
Over the stand?
Apparently so. I think it's one of those stadiums where, like the Britannia.
Well,
it's got gaps
part
in the corners.
Of it's open, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You left over an arm on you, otherwise.
I was about to say, he's throwing a tennis ball over a stadium. What have you done?
Yeah, they should have a good baseball team, that's
okay. But we're going to go up north after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show, of course, will be out this Friday. We didn't do very well with the bet of the week.
Well, Joe, I forget his name though. You sprung it on me, Joe Flaherty.
Well done,
Joe Flaherty was doing the bet of the week. He tweeted in saying, "I got the bet half right. It was, of course, Millwall to win, but there to be over 2.5 goals in the game, and they were 1-0." He said, "Right result, but wrong scoreline. Put it down as a moral victory, if not a literal one."
No,
you don't get away with that, Joe.
Oh no,
you're not
no.
on the honours board either.
Yeah,
sadly,
we'll,
my man.
We'll come to empty my failed prediction in just a sec.
We get another going this week. That's the beauty of it.
That is the beauty of the preview show.
To be fair, there was a lot of accumulators coming in this week with big money, because there were so many.
Not around here, is it?
That's right. And quickly to the Scottish Premiership. Sadly, Celtic beat Hearts 4-0. You know, I'm sure we're all mourning that. But to be fair to Brendan Rodgers, his side did break the club record previously held by Jock Steen's Lisbon Lions.
I mean, which
is why Pete went to Lisbon on the weekend, in homage.
Oh, yeah, is that right, Pete?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
How can I mark this in some way?
I could go to the
game in Glasgow in January, or I could go to Lisbon.
Is it a little bit disappointing? I mean, obviously it's good for Celtic fans that they're winning so many games, but is it a bit disappointing that one of those truly great teams had their record taken by a Brendan Rodgers side? It's like someone who shall remain nameless saying they didn't like it when Chelsea won the Champions League, because you can't go back, can't change that now. They've won the European Cup.
Yeah, that's a bit of history for them.
And before anyone tweets me, it wasn't me. It wasn't me who said that.
Go on, Jim.
And I'm angry at Bayern Munich for other things that are obvious, but for them allowing that to happen as well.
In their own stadium, was it not? Mm. My goodness. But okay, well, what about this one then? Luke, Chris Boyd scored the fastest goal in Scottish Premiership, and I think Scottish SPL history, if you can combine the two as well, after 10.4 seconds.
He thought he was offside massively, didn't he?
He really
looked to the line.
Is that a record?
Yes, that is a fast goal.
Yeah.
It was a nice finish.
Did you prefer that record?
Why'd you come with me specifically for this?
Because you were having a go at the previous record.
I've got a reputation for scoring fast goals myself.
No, because you were having a go at the previous record.
Fast love.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's one there.
I am, to be fair, sometimes when you see some of the things I'm not interested in football, makes myself comfortable, is like individual awards. I don't really care about those.
Right.
But I've got a little bit of a fascination, I think, because I grew up and watched football in the 90s, but for some reason it seemed really fashionable to know what the fastest goal is. Mm. And that is a very, very fast goal, so well done to him.
That's right.
It was a nice finish.
Interesting is how you can see, now we've gone to Scotland, just our general enthusiasm for the game has just gone through the floor.
How about this?
Like many in Scotland.
How about this FA Cup fever buddies? Nothing to do with the FA Cup, but Alex Lee emailed in as he spotted the Aberdeen midfielder Niall McGinn necking a Yazoo after he got brought off.
Wasn't it a Yazoo?
A Yazoo's like a sort of kind of milkshake.
Is it like a Yakult?
It's a high street milkshake.
No, that's probiotic, Marcus. Yeah.
It's a bright. If brown can be bright, it's brown, bright, brown.
I didn't think it would be a.
Brown, bright, brown.
You know, when we go to Byron, you always order a vanilla milkshake. So you know what a milkshake is? It's a milkshake.
We've been there once.
It's like a thinner fridge with a double J.
I know what a milkshake is. I just thought to myself, a professional athlete, but that's probably why I emailed in. So there we are.
Yeah. But excellent. I did see someone on Twitter say that actually that was a very, very ignorant and uneducated tweet, because apparently they do that a lot after they've been off to restore energy or something. I'm not sure.
Well, that is. I mean, you know, some players will eat, like, have a little jelly baby or
Jaffa cakes.
Throw a pizza at Alex Ferguson.
My biggest issue is why Pete hasn't put that in the email section, which is specifically designed for the purpose.
Because I don't. To stink up the email section with Scottish nonsense.
Oh. We can't ever do a show in Scotland again after this.
We can.
Yeah, we can.
I'll bring my shirt.
I was about to say, don't worry, everybody. I'll inform him of the colours to wear next time. You'll do the rest. Let's go to Africa. Two of my four predictions were right. Glasses half full.
Yeah. Okay. That's the main story from the African Relations, isn't it?
No, sadly, half a Renard's men are out. Yeah. It's time for someone else to win the competition.
They had their chances.
They hit the bar twice, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But Egypt were the strongest side with their 44-year-old goalkeeper in their ranks. So they're through to the semi-final.
Karaba scored, his name means electricity.
I like that.
Oh, nice.
Well, Burkina Faso means land of honest people.
Okay.
Nice. Formerly known as the Republic of Upper Volta.
I mean, the second Tunisian goals, from a conceding point of view, was particularly poor.
Erratic goalkeeping, would you say? Yeah. The goalkeeper saw the player cross the halfway line and he thought to himself, I'm having a bit of that.
Yeah. As you said to me earlier, it was a 70-30 at best.
Yeah, against him. But the Stallions will face Egypt in the semi-final. Bantse came on and made the difference. He's a great player for them. Big Bantse. But Burkina Faso have never won the tournament. I've been impressed with them so far, and I'm going to throw my weight behind them, which means they won't win it.
Well, now Senegal are out after I tipped them.
Yeah.
They got knocked out straight away.
That was very, very close, though, wasn't it? I think the problem with that game, though, was Senegal's keeper gave them absolutely nothing in the shootout. For the final goal, he just looked so resigned to defeat, he barely even dived for it. It was more of a slump than a dive.
Worst ever goalkeeping performance in the penalty shootout is Peter Shilton, World Cup 19, maybe West Germany.
Those penalties were really good, though,
But he could have stood exactly where he was and got nearer to all of them. The fourth one, I think it was. I can't remember who took it. I think Bremer took the winning. I can't remember anyway. The fourth one, I think it was. Not only does he not get anywhere near it, it comes back out of the net and hits him in the face.
On the head.
It's a bit nitpicky, though, Jim, if you're saying that the Senegal goalkeeper didn't perform in the penalty shootout.
We saw this with Atleti a little while ago.
It makes a huge difference if you sense early that
the opposition team's goalkeeper just isn't confident and isn't going to get near it.
Yeah, but Senegal are a better team than Cameroon. They had 120 minutes to sort that out.
To prove that,
they didn't do it.
You are right. I mean, in that Champions League semi-final, Oblak was in goal, who's a very good keeper, and was actually, apparently Real Madrid studied his movements and positions, and he's stronger diving to his right. So you watched most of those Madrid penalties went to the keeper's left. Mm. So yes, there is something, but I mean, you've had 120 minutes.
I'm just saying they're little slugs and they deserve to go out.
Mane's penalty was very, very poor.
Yeah. It's a good save.
He didn't look confident. He looked quite tired. And Aboubakar's penalty to win it was a beauty. That was the difference.
Is it good news for Liverpool that he's back? Yes. Is it good news that he looked really, really tired and he's now really, really deflated after missing the penalty?
Wasn't he carried off the pitch in tears?
Oh, yeah. It was quite sad.
Get used to that. Pal, you're going back to Liverpool.
That's it. Maybe that's
a mess.
They're training so hard. I don't want to go back. He's had the weight of his country on his shoulders because he's seen as one of the best African players, which he probably is currently. And Senegal have got a great side, and they really have thrown away a good opportunity to win the tournament. And now he's going back to Liverpool. They're going to help us. Give us a break. Yeah. You know? But Ghana beat the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Ayew brothers were among the goals.
They both scored, didn't they?
Jordan scored a lovely one, but Mpoku's goal for DR Congo was an absolute peach. And the keeper did his celebration where he sort of jumps up and down on his arse.
He was about 30 yards out, wasn't he?
It was an absolute beauty. Mm. But there's a comment. I've seen some of the highlights on YouTube. I'm not sure which broadcaster this is, but it's an African commentator, and I've heard him commentate on a number of the games. And when a beauty scored, he goes click click bang like that. And then when that goal went in, he went, oh, it's a blinder, click click. You know what that means?
Self-aware.
Yeah,
it's like when David Hasselhoff got in on the joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it really be boom boom boom? Let me hear you say ayu ayu.
Oh, Jim,
especially if both are playing.
Well, actually, but it wasn't Ayu's goal that you were saying that.
Ah, right.
But he had two opportunities for that. To be fair. Right, let's go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Yeah, all right, guys. Highlights of the week time. I'm going to open with this one straight off the bat. Big Sol Campbell has taken the assistant manager's job at Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah,
that's strange.
The best part about this is apparently he was persuaded to take it after chatting to Thierry Henry, who presumably just went, "This is assistant manager's brilliant. You didn't do anything. Just kick the ball around, and the manager takes all the flack anyway. So get yourself out there."
Yeah. And the players will ask you loads about your own career. You'll get to talk about it.
I'm predicting a period of unfettered success for Trinidad and Tobago. Now the big man's in there. That's one to look out for. Some stuff from Leo Ajoa. Did you see the tweets he put out today?
Yeah, I heard about this, but I saw there was some controversy. What happened?
He said, "With all respect for Leicester City fans, I feel betrayed by Ranieri and let down by the club. I will not play again for them."
Mm.
So there we go. He said, "I need to feel like a footballer again." He wants to go to Sunderland. I mean, how desperate must he be? He wants to go to Sunderland.
A friend of mine called Ben, who's listening to the show, was up in Leicester recently and wanted to go to the restaurant where Claudio Ranieri says his favourite Italian is. And apparently, there's a lobster named after Claudio Ranieri on the menu. Yeah.
Lovely, fantastic. Did he go in there?
Of course he did.
He said it was nice.
I don't think he had the lobster, but he said it was a good restaurant.
Did they ever try tying Ranieri's claws together so he couldn't tinker?
I need to research that.
Okay.
That was good. Come on, that was good.
That was very good.
I don't need reviewing, but
For another show, you're away.
I don't need reviewing.
Even if it's a good review.
Do you say that to your boss on the radio?
Typical does. It doesn't want a good review.
Yeah.
That was a good one, Pete. No, it wasn't.
Oh, dear.
Right, should I do the listeners? Oh, I've got one more before I
don't need paying.
This is a nice little exchange from Karanka. A lot of people were talking about this.
Yeah.
The journalist said, "Do you expect Gaston Ramirez to remain at the club?" Karanka, "I don't care."
That's the Donaldson school of
next question. Match. "You don't care? The only thing I'll say is he'll be here on February the 1st, 100%.
Is that...
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Right.
There you go.
He wound himself back in, didn't he? He sort of went. He went in too strong and went, "Oh, that might have implications."
He's got a temper on him, hasn't he? Because we talked last week about him having this sort of bust up with the ownership and stuff like that. So Ben Fraser back in touch again, the QPR fan. He said, "QPR lost, meaning my 3-year-old has now seen us lose 2 out of 2. He still enjoys it though. How do I stop this child cruelty? No good can come of this."
Can I say Middlesbrough have drawn Oxford in the cup?
Okay.
In the first round, and Stuart Downing's performance. Apparently Karanka's trying to get rid of him, yet he pretty much saved the day there and scored a lovely goal. He's got a mention for Downing. Carry on, sorry.
Lots of shouts for a Spurs fan with a big bag of lettuce.
What's
that about?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I'm hoping you could. Pete, this is very much your area.
I think it could have been any leaf. I don't know why everyone's focused on lettuce.
A fan had a bag of lettuce, Luke. Move on.
Andrew Mason says, "My highlight is the BBC having poor Lintz pitch side for Derby v Leicester. Beep de beep de beep. Time for another Tomlins update." I completely agree with you, Andrew.
Yeah.
So I want to go with this one from Aaron Pullen as well on Facebook. I don't know if this is true. I'm hoping it is, but you'll like it anyway. He says, "My highlight was reading former Plymouth and Exeter forward Lee Phillips' funniest moment of his career. He revealed that when 3-0 down with Plymouth, Neil Warnock stormed into the dressing room, picked on one of the defenders he was annoyed with, picked up a metal tea urn that was in the room, threw it in the air and headed it before stating, 'That's how you fucking head a ball.'"
I mean, if you hit the body of the barrel, fine. But if you get the tea urn
on the corner.
That's a head wound.
It explains a lot that's followed Neil Warnock ever since.
Certainly. Oh, dearie me.
I've got a couple of highlights.
Yeah, far away.
Stephen Defoe's goal for Burnley. I couldn't tell. Where I think he hit the ball with his foot, I can't figure out how it... It must have had a deflection or something, because I don't know how it ended up in the net like that.
He's a professional athlete, mate.
It's so weird. And also, Nigel Clough turning down Nottingham Forest.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever needed an explanation of what a shit show that club is at the moment, even Brian Clough... Nigel Clough turned him down.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, I've got a couple, and I'm surprised you've overlooked one here, Peter. But the first one's obviously quite a serious one, but the first top flight Syrian football match was played in Aleppo since 2011.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was good to see. And Julio Arca.
Yeah. I love him.
He's your Ronald Koeman, isn't he? Marcus is obsessed with Ronald Koeman's Twitter feed. And you're obsessed with Julio Arca.
On Saturday, after he scored that amazing lob, he took a picture of some beer and then wrote, "First of many tonight, just going to celebrate the lads and some of the fans for sure." Mm-hmm. And then today, "Apologies for what I said before. If players want to leave, let them go." He just apologised for what he said in the press after a heavy night.
I saw something quite bittersweet from Julio Arca a while back where he said, "I would give everything I had to play in front of the stadium and light fans one more time."
Yeah.
That's quite sad.
He's only 35, he could still do something.
David Moyes should be on the brother.
Yeah.
Better to have loved and lost.
Have you ever played for Everton? Did you play for me at Everton?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but before we go, one recommendation for the Arsenal fans, it's on the BBC website somewhere, tucked in there. Sutton United's second choice goalkeeper. Check him out. You will not be disappointed.
Oh, can I also say that some of the worst commentary I have ever heard in that Arsenal game when they scored the third goal. I think it was Peter Drury. Mm. And this is verbatim. I promise you this is what he said. When they scored the third goal, he just went, www.Welbeck-Walcott.
Good God.
Good to see Welbeck back.
Wow. It's good to see Manolo Gabbiadini going to Southampton by the looks of things.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got Gabbiadini back in the Prem.
Oh! Did he play in the Prem?
I think he might have, yeah.
Okay.
For Bolton, maybe. I don't know.
They just need, and that's exactly what they need, another mercurial striker. He doesn't score that many goals. I'm thinking of the right player. I might not be.
You're having a dig at Southampton.
Yeah.
Stop having a go at Marco Gabbiadini.
Having a dig just in case.
I don't even know for a fact. I need to undermine him every day between now and the League Cup final. Because my life will not be worth living if they win.
It's not the player they need.
No.
That's very clear.
One thing I enjoyed was Karen Brady tweeted this as well. Oh. West Ham fans with a Payet shirt can get £25 back in the shop. Because that's normal, isn't it, when you sell a player? Yeah. Taking it well.
That's terrible, isn't it? I saw a West Ham fan with marker pen through Payet and written Reed in pen on the top.
I see, he could have got his money back.
Yeah, 20. I mean, maybe it's still.
It's a sweet thing from the club to, you know, to get some money back for the fans, but it's just...
it's a bit snide.
He's not been there for that long. Like, it's not like, I don't know, Sol Campbell or something moving on.
But he played
weird.
He played the West Ham way.
Yeah, there was no controversy when Sol Campbell moved on ever, was there?
No, exactly.
I don't know if there's a worse example you could have picked.
No, but I mean, Sol Campbell played for a few years there, you know. Sol Campbell played for a few years and he went
like
to a rival.
He's not an amazing servant like Amir Zaki. It's not like he's an amazing goal scorer like
right,
Jason
piss,
Lee.
Right, piss off. Right, the show's ending now.
Thank
you very
much for listening, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Say goodbye, Jim. Good night. Get the right song. There it is.
It's not like he was an amazing tackle like Paul Scholes. <isn't it?
laughs> Say goodbye, Peter.
Piss off.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.